We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My dream, and I'll share with you because you guys are listening, my dream is to become a national champion.
Away, Brown with a steal.
One day, like I said, we will cut down nets, hold up trophies. We will raise banners.
Buckets and Brightside episode 4, one of our biggest ones so far off a thrilling comeback victory last night for the Tigers. 70-68, down 20 points in the second half. You know, you don't want to call games on November 16th a must win, but if they would have fallen last night in the way that game was trending, they would have been 2-2 on the season. They would have been 0-2 and two double-digit losses to the only legitimate teams that they played, not including Arkansas Pine Bluff or I don't even remember who they played.
SAU Edwards.
SAU Edwards. I couldn't even remember who they played on Monday night. They would have been 0-2 against the only two legitimate opponents on their schedule and pretty uncompetitive in those games. And then something swings in the last 7 minutes. Last night, Nick Honor hits a couple three-pointers. They get some sparks from the freshman, Ant Robinson and Trent Pierce, and then all of a sudden Sean Eats is a floater with 8 seconds left to go win the game. Just I don't want to say a must-win comeback, but you know how valuable was the last 7 minutes to kind of swing the season and putting it more in the right direction?
So Minnesota obviously is a program that hasn't been very good in the last couple of years. They've been one of the bottom high major programs, bottom of the barrel in the Big Ten. Like clearly they're better than that this year. And this was a program in Minnesota that honestly really would have kind of deserved this win. Their fan base, like, they kind of needed it to just show that things were getting better. It's just interesting because the style and defense that Mizzou's playing against high major teams is not going to work. Like, this Minnesota broke these full court traps really easily. They hit all these transition threes to start the game. And then in the second half, Mizzou went into a dry spell. They didn't make shots, and Minnesota did. And again, it looked like no alpha to go out and save you from Mizzou. And then Caleb Grill gets tossed, and all of a sudden this team has energy again. And they come back down 20 to win it. In terms of big picture, this could end up being important because there's a chance this ends up quad one.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
It feels like even with the rotation, which we've talked about in every episode so far, that we have more questions than we did in each of the first three games. Mm-hmm. We took Connor Vanover for the first time last night. He played 7 minutes and scored 0 points. We saw a little bit more of John Tonje. I think he started, scored 4 points, but didn't really see him a ton after that. Mm-hmm. Only played 11 minutes. Honor was, I guess, that alpha. Forse had 9-point, 10-point run at some point in that second half, he did take a couple shots in the last minute that were missed, but Missouri was still able to recover from that and win. But then we saw the freshmen really start getting involved in Jordan Butler and Trent Pearson and Robinson. And I think it was those, the kids who basically swung the game. They played, and also Kurt Lewis is not really a freshman, but it's a first year guy in Division I basketball coming in from John E. Logan. It was those four, it was the new guys who really had probably the biggest impact in this game because they came in with energy. They were playing really good defense, especially Robinson and Pierce, and they were forcing stops and they were running in transition. Robinson had a great transition layup and he had a three-pointer in that first half. And I don't know, it felt like something new. And I think that with the rotation going forward, they have a couple more gimmies in the next four games. They play like South Carolina State and then Jackson State coming up, I think, next week. But might be want to see more of those guys and a little less of the Caleb Grills and the Tamar Bates and the Jesus Carolero. I think if we see a little bit more of the kids, then you know can kind of find out more about what they're made of.
Yeah, Pierce and Lewis specifically were pretty impressive last night. They led the team in plus minus. Pierce was a plus 15, Lewis was a plus 16, and like you said, they came in, brought energy. They only combined for 16 minutes between the two of them. But like Pierce finished it and won, like late in the game, down five to cut the lead to two. That was really important, just to like show that like Mizzou was coming back. Like, hey, like this is a one possession game. Well, let's go win this now. And then Lewis had like a 92 defensive rating, which is just pretty good, like pretty damn good compared to the rest of the team. So yeah, I think you're absolutely right. There are certainly a lot of rotation questions still to be answered with this team. And, you know, like some of the older veteran guys that we thought they were going to rely on being bad and undisciplined probably doesn't help that cause.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And I think we kind of need to mention Caleb Grill in that sentence indirectly. He has just not been the player that Missouri was hoping he would be through four games. He's been cold from three. He got ejected last night. And honestly, him not being able to play in the last 13, 14 minutes, maybe not a bad thing. And that maybe opened it up for Lewis and Robinson and Trent Pierce. Because they couldn't be... Grill's been pretty inconsistent through his first four games, or just three and a half, after the ejection last night. He hasn't been the player defensively Missouri had hoped. He hasn't been the player offensively Missouri had hoped. I'm not saying that he needs to be benched entirely, but now it kind of reevaluate his spot in the rotation because he has been a negative one on the court, and I think that's kind of hard to debate against.
Yeah, I mean, if he's not hitting shots, like, he does other things. He defends, he rebounds. The rebounder. But
yeah.
If he's not hitting shots, like, you could kind of see it last night. It really gets to him mentally. And this is not a new thing. This is, like, him being tossed last night, like, didn't necessarily surprise me if you knew some of the stuff that happened at Iowa State and in his past. But, like, you're right. Like, there's no debate, like, whether he's a plus or minus right now when he's on the floor. And that's something that the staff's going to need to evaluate because they brought him in to kind of fill either that Demoy Hodge or DeAndre Golston role, one of the two, and he's not doing it right now. Like, you need him to be hitting shots for him to be a plus out there.
He finished in 17 minutes with 2 points, 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 4 from downtown. I don't know what his 3-point total is for the season right now. There it is. He is... 27%. Oh, sorry. He's 4 of 21 from 3-pointer this season, which I would say is about 22-21%.
I was going to say, I remember him hitting 2 on Monday. So.
Yeah, that's half his 3-pointers on the season. Sean East, probably one of the most critical players from the fan base, and we've talked about this in every episode. Just, again, answering the bell last night. Only 9 points, 4 of 12, but with one possession left, down by 1. Who else did you expect to get the ball? I was, like, pretty convinced that they were going to give it to East after we saw back-to-back setback 3-pointers from Nick Honor, the 2 possessions before. One possession for a chance to win it. Were you shocked that they gave it to East? And, like, the play call goes to the basket, draws the foul, has the and-one. Just shows how much trust they have in him. And it's what happened the last couple of years. And, he might need to be the closer for this team.
I wasn't super surprised that he was the go-to guy because, like, frankly, Nick was great last night, and yeah. Nick is almost always reliable. But, like, in the closing seconds of games, like, if you're going to pressure Nick, it's going to be hard for him to get a shot off. Like, Sean got a ball screen. He made a good decision, got to the rim, and made an excellent pump fake to get his defender in the air and then finished the and-one to put Mizzou ahead. Like, overall, he didn't shoot well last night, but he had 3 steals, and I think, like, all of them came in the second half when Mizzou was, like, making their comeback. And, like, if this team is going to come back in a game like that, and if they're going to play at their best, like, they need to be forcing turnovers. So, like, Sean's a guy that's going to be important for this team all year, whether people like that or not. And I don't know if him being this team's best player, what it means for their long-term potential and what it means for the season they end up having. But right now, he's the most important player on this team. And it just doesn't come as a shock to me that they deferred to him down the stretch last night in a gotta-have-it possession.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And he delivered. Like, delivered in as good a way as possible. It's a tough shot. Also, a forgotten moment. Tamar Bates getting fouled on a three-pointer with 2 minutes left. And
yeah.
Coming in, hitting all three free throws. Insanely clutch. And it was just all-around guys. What do we want to see in the next three games? So, they're all home against South Carolina. It's Jackson State on Sunday. South Carolina State on Wednesday. And then Loyola Maryland on Saturday. It's three games in 6 days against three teams probably pretty lowly rated before they have to go to Pittsburgh the Tuesday after. They should be big favorites in all three games. They should win. What do we want to see to make us feel comfortable? Because right now, I don't love our chances going at Pitt. I don't even seen a ton of Pitt so far this year, so I don't know if they're the team they are last year.
They're pretty good.
Okay.
We'll get into more of them as the game gets closer, but they've been impressive to me so far.
So what do we need to see in the next three games? If it's rotation-wise, if it's scheme-wise, against these three lighter opponents that can make us feel better going into the Pitt game. Because right now, I mean, I don't think Minnesota is a super high-end Power 5 team, but I don't think they're close to it. I think Pitt's a lot better than them based on history and the talent that Pitt has. How can we feel better going into that game that we can see in the next three?
Yeah, so just doing a quick KenPom search, Jackson State at 281 is the highest remaining, highest of those three teams. So, like, these
not
are
great.
Pretty close to bottom of the barrel college basketball teams. The other two are sub 300. I think, not really from a player perspective, but from a coaching perspective, like, I want to see that, like, this coaching staff is figuring out what they have with this team. Like, whether that's making adjustments defensively, because, like, against the low major and mid major teams, like, this style will work. Like, you don't need to be super long to, like, be able to speed these teams up and, like, make mid-major teams uncomfortable with the press that Missouri runs. But against high-major teams like last night, that clearly was not working at times. And, like, granted, like, they're freshmen, like, they're longer players. Trent Pierce is a bigger player. Like, you can execute that stuff with your younger players that, like, maybe Caleb Grill and, like, Tanjay don't provide you. But, like, figuring out your scheme and figuring out your rotations is two things I'm interested to see. Like, are these freshmen going to turn this into, hey, like, we're going to make ourselves playable. Like, we're going to make ourselves so good that, like, we can't be taken off the court because of the impact we're providing. So I do want to see if Dennis turns to some of these younger players over the veterans. And just, you know, this should be three wins. So just really see where this team stands after these three games.
Yeah, and that's what I said earlier. I want to see a lot more of the freshmen. I want to see Pierce. I want to see more Kurt Lewis, who's not a freshman. I want to see more Ant Robinson and Jordan Butler. If those guys can play more minutes, not saying I want to see those guys play 30, but somewhere between like 18 and 25 minutes for a handful of those guys to get a little more sample size, see what they can do, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And Missouri hasn't done a great job of creating transition this year. And when they did in that second half last night, it kind of sparked the comeback. Quickly, Connor Vanover didn't play very well in his 7 minutes. Had two rebounds, only took one shot. Just didn't look, I don't know if it's just didn't look ready enough, but Gates kind of hyped up his return. He said free Connor Vanover at the presser earlier this week. Mm-hmm. He's freed, but didn't kind of play the game he wanted. Is it just one game, or what, you know, what can we expect from him on a game-to-game basis? Because I really hope it's not what we saw last night.
Yeah, I think when he's on the floor, it just sort of limits your ability to play fast. Like, he's a good shooter. Don't get me wrong, but, like, is he your first option to throw it on the perimeter and transition for a three? Like, he's out there for rim protection. I don't think he was ever going to be a major offensive contributor for this team. You brought him back, or you brought him in because last year you were, like, like close to the bottom of college basketball, if not at the bottom in block rate.
Yeah.
So, like, he just kind of looked lost offensively last night, which I guess, like, first game with the team, like, on the road, you can kind of expect it. But, you know, like, this is just kind of who he is at times. Like, this is why he transferred down from Arkansas to Oral Roberts, because the pace of high major college basketball sometimes isn't for him.
Well, let's do our stars as we wrap this up, this comeback episode of the Buckets and Brightside podcast. You go first. Who do you got as your first star? Who was our fan pick last week? It was Ann Robinson.
It was Anthony Robinson.
Okay. Who you got for yours?
I'm actually going to go Trent Pierce here. I think he provided, like, I'm trying not to, like, every game just like go leading scorers, because like those are always the obvious ones. But Trent Pierce, what he did last night in his like 9 minutes that he played was really crucial. Like I mentioned, got the and one, just provided a spark that this team really badly needed. And you know, this was a guy I heard in the preseason could play a lot for Mizzou, and I think it's trending after last night towards that direction of him getting more minutes.
I'm gonna follow the same exact trend as you. My star is Anthony Robinson, coming off the bench, not playing a ton of minutes. When he really came in, he had a huge layup in the second half to cut it to a two-point game. Was really strong in the defensive end. You know, he filled in for when Honor needed rest before the last 2.5 minutes. Robinson stepped in, made a big impact as a freshman in his fourth career college basketball game. All you can ask for. And the two guys, Pierce and Robinson, I think, need to have bigger roles in the team going forward and have, you know, hopefully lead this team to where they want to go. Any final thoughts about this game?
Yeah, I just want to say what I really like right now about Anthony Robinson is that, like, he's not playing like a freshman. Like, he's not making freshman mistakes. Like, a couple times last night, you see him, like, get a pass or a dribble handoff, and, like, he tries to turn the corner on it, and, like, maybe he's not at the point where he's quick enough to do that all the time. But, like, he doesn't force the issue. He'll pull it out. He'll reset the offense. He'll keep the ball moving. He's not doing anything like stupid that you would think like, oh, that's a freshman mistake right now.
Yep. That's our podcast today. We'll be back at some point next week during the Thanksgiving break to kind of just give a midweek recap of where this team stands as they head into the middle part of their non-conference schedule. I'm Harrison Vapnick. That's Jonathan Litzkin. This has been the Buckets and Brightside podcast. We'll see you later.